Right now, though, let's talk to Bruce Williamson from the campaign group Rail Futures, because there's a few sort of conflicting stories doing the rounds this morning about what exactly is happening on the railway network. There's a big report due out later on, which we'll bring you right here on Talk Radio. But the answer to the question, is something improving or is it getting worse, is really quite difficult to determine. Let's find out what Bruce has to say. Bruce, a very good morning to you. Welcome.
Morning, Mike.
It is tough for me, anyway, as a layman. You know much more about the railway network than I do. I mean, Boris Johnson's piece in the Yorkshire Post would suggest that he's doing all sorts of great things that he promised he would do, and that he's not at all not doing the things that he also promised to do. So which one of those sort of narratives is correct?
Well, obviously, you know, Boris Johnson being a politician would be inclined to put a positive spin on, you know, this plan, which we'll find out about 11 o'clock today, because the devil will be in the detail. But there's no getting away from the fact that he's spending less money on rail investment than was previously promised, and the eastern leg of HS2 is almost certain to be scrapped.
Right.
So I think there are issues in terms of, you know, what we're going to get for our money and what you can do to improve the experience for passengers in the north when you're spending less and cutting part of a project.
Yes, and I guess the question for those people who are going to be using the trains in that part of Britain is, are they going to find themselves having a better service? Because his piece suggests that he may not be adding any journey time quickness to the route, but there will be better and more efficient trains. People won't be standing around for as long. They won't have to wait for so many trains as they do now. So is it just a kind of efficiency drive in the end of the day?
Well, no, I'm sure there will be some improvements for some passengers on some routes. You know, this money is being spent on new lines and upgrades and electrification and so on, which is all very welcome. But, you know, the big question is, you know, how does that compare to the previous plans? And I suspect it's going to turn out to be not so good. I mean, he's claiming that he can match the journey time from Leeds to London with this new scheme without the eastern leg of HS2. Now, if he's able to, in reality, do this kind of smoke and mirrors and get more for less or get the same for less, you have to wonder, well, what was wrong with the previous plan if it was more expensive and no better than this current cheaper plan?
Well, that's right. And that, I guess, is the $64,000 question, as they say. But an awful lot of the local stuff that he's doing is only going to affect people locally. You know, so if you live in Manchester and something's happening that's improved the service, say, between, I don't know, Leeds and Bradford, you don't really care, do you?
Well, no, you don't. Obviously, you know, you care about your services from your station. The whole, you know, the Northern Powerhouse Rail thing, you know, is a sound bit of investment to bring those northern cities together, to make them as a sort of an industrial economic powerhouse to match London. So if we can achieve that with this new scheme, so much the better. But, you know, we definitely need it. It's really important that we have those local connections and we have an integrated rail network. And you know, what I fear is we're looking at a little bit of a piecemeal approach with this new scheme.
Because it seems to me, and I'm not someone that uses the train an awful lot, but it seems to me that the train service as we currently know it is sort of creaking at the edges. It's not, it hasn't got enough capacity. It's very easily disabled by various events, including weather. You know, it doesn't run particularly efficiently. The East Coast and the West Coast main lines have been troubled, I suppose, for quite a long time now, in the sense that it's hard to find decent franchises that can run them, and make any money out of them.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. You know, the capacity issue is absolutely key to that. And we've been given a little bit of a breathing space with COVID in that passenger numbers have gone down. But there's no doubt that the network as a whole is creaking at the seams.
Yeah.
And, you know, we need that sort of long-term sustained investment to give us the rail network we need for the future. If we don't make that investment, you know, the whole thing is going to come crashing down. You're absolutely right that, you know, a bit of disruption somewhere on the network can cause all sorts of knock-on consequences because we don't have those alternative routes and we don't have that spare capacity to deal with it.
Exactly right. I mean, someone was telling me the other day, and I had to double check it to see if it was true, that the last train back from Manchester to London is at 9:15 in the evening. That seems mad.
I can well believe it. Yeah, I don't know. It's not a route I use myself very much, but yeah, you will find these sorts of anomalies across the network, you know, and where the service, you know, just isn't comprehensive enough. And we need that, you know, and the government seems to be in other parts of the network you know, reversing it, closing down certain services and squeezing timetables. And that's not what we need to see.
And as far as HS2 is concerned, I mean, what are you expecting it to be said in this report that's coming out, as you say, just after 11? Is it, we obviously know that it's not on time. It's presumably over budget. When are we actually going to be expected to be able to step onto it and take a train ride on it?
It's got to be at least 10 years. I think it's 2035, 2040. I think, you know, it's the time to put. So,
that's hopeless, isn't it?
It's not great, you know, and I have concerns about the escalating cost of HS2, obviously. You know, we can't have a blank check for this thing while costs spiral. And there is an issue as well with other investment, which hasn't represented as good value for money as it should do. But again, you know, I don't want to present this as an either-or thing. We need Northern Powerhouse Rail. We need electrification of the Midland Main Line. We need to finish off the electrification of the Great Western. You know, there's a shopping list, or as long as your arm, of things that we really need to do, and we need all of it. We don't need one or the other.
Right, exactly. But I wonder. But I also wonder if it is going to take another 10 years before we even see HS2. The capacity at the moment is going to be a problem for the next 10 years, then, and we're actually not going to be able to be in a position to improve matters for another 10 years. And I don't wish to sort of tempt fate, but I'm afraid in 10 years' time, I'll be lucky if I can go anywhere, never mind get on a train.
Indeed, you know, and this is another problem that we've had, you know, for decades with the railways, the sort of stop-start nature, the feast and famine of it. You know, it's not good for the railways, and it's not good for passengers who don't get the service they deserve. We need long-term investment, and we need a consistent investment, and we need to stick to the plans. We're not cutting it and chopping and changing it as the, you know, as the Treasury has a bad hair day and starts to cut things. It's really bad for the railway.
Well, it really is. And I mean, as far as the actual capacity is concerned as well, I mean, presumably, unless you put more railway actual track in, there's not much you can do, is there?
You can to some extent. Excuse me. There's always tweaks you can make. Signalling can help a lot. Improving signalling will give you more capacity on an existing bit of railway. But yes, you're absolutely right. In many cases, we need new lines or we need doubling or quadrupling of existing lines to give us that capacity that we need. There's no getting away from that, really.
And without putting you on the spot, Bruce, is the model that we're using wrong? You know, the separate franchise companies that don't seem to be able to run terribly efficiently, which we pay bucket loads of subsidies to, where people get quite wealthy as shareholders and as board members of these companies. And then, you know, inevitably they have their franchise removed.
Well, yeah, I mean, franchising is dead. Franchising has died a natural death. We still have in theory, a privatised railway where we have contractors running particular services, but it's all being run and managed by the Department for Transport, and three major franchises are in public hands. So we do seem to be drifting back to a form of nationalisation with Great British Railways. And who would have bet a few years ago that it would be the Conservative Party that would be renationalising the railway? But in a roundabout way, that is what's happening, I think.
Right. No, I think that's absolutely right. Good to talk to you. Thanks very much indeed. Bruce Williams from there from the campaign group Rail Futures, because there is a new report coming out. It will be out just after 11 o'clock. We'll bring you precisely what it says. An awful lot of what it says has been kind of telegraphed. We sort of know an awful lot about what is going to be in there. However, what I need to know from you, particularly if you are in the north of England, does it matter to you? Do you care? Because HS2 is costing an awful lot of money. It's not even going to be ready for another...